You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven. An iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And boy, oh boy, do we have a great episode in store for you today. A woman that does not, well, she did kind of suck at dating at one point, as far as we saw, but whatever. She doesn't suck anymore. She was one of the fan favorites from this most recent season of Bachelor in Paradise. Abigail Herringer is here joining us. Abigail, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, guys, for having me come on today.
Oh, of course. Thanks for coming on. You're the one who really keeps us in line. Usually this goes off the rails. As you can tell, my mic has been struggling. But Abigail, how are you? How are you and Noah? What's new in your life?
Yeah, we've been really busy. I actually just packed up and moved across the country. I was living in New York for a little bit, so my life is just kind of still in suitcases and whatnot at this point. But no, it's going well. And then we just did a trip to Costa Rica, which was really fun. And now he's back to working at the hospital. So we've been staying busy.
So you moved in with him?
Yeah, so we have an apartment with one of his other friends. So it's the three of us in one apartment. So we're in Huntington Beach right now.
In Huntington Beach. Nice, nice. You know, it's funny, you guys are so similar to Kaylin and my beginning of our relationship, because we came off the show, we did a bunch of traveling together. We eventually moved in together with like one of my best friends. And so there was three of us living in this house together. I hope that your guys' relationship is way more successful than ours. Not that ours isn't successful.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't want to say like as successful as ours, like, toot my own horn. I'm just saying, I want it to be even above and beyond. You know, you're starting out in a similar path here. So I just don't want that to, I'm losing my train of thought here. Anyways, Jared, what kind of questions you got for Abigail today?
Well, so you lived in New York. Is that where you were born?
No, I was actually from Oregon, and then I just moved out to New York actually right when Matt's season was airing. One of my friends from college and I were just like, we want to try a new city, try something new. And I knew a couple of the girls from the show lived in New York, so it just seemed like a good fit. And with COVID pricing too, rent was actually cheaper in New York than it was in Portland at the time. Mm. So we're like, we have to take advantage of it. But then my lease ended and I miss my family. I miss the West Coast. Noah was in California. So it just made sense for me to come to California.
Well, I'm assuming you obviously came to California to be closer to family, but also because of Noah. Is Noah from Southern California?
No, he's actually from Oklahoma. He's in Tulsa. So when we were in hiding, because when we left paradise, and we had to be in hiding until obviously the final episode. It was a lot of secret visits to Tulsa. And then he started his contract in January this year. So we've been in California since.
So how did you guys decide that you were going to move to California and he wasn't going to move to New York?
So I knew I didn't want to be in New York long-term. Like, I love the city, but it's very, like, I'm used to kind of the slower vibes of just being able to, like, go for walks or drive places, just things like that. And living in the city is very kind of hustle and bustle and just a little exhausting. And then he was looking at contracts and he wanted to obviously go somewhere warmer for the winter. So this one came up. It's in Huntington Beach, which I like LA, but I definitely like how Huntington's a little bit further out. It's a little bit more low-key and quieter. So it just seems like a...
Are you going to have a car in California?
So Noah and I are sharing his car right now because he works night shift. So I have it during the day. It works out pretty well, but he has a 4Runner. So gas right now, like prices are so high in California. And I think his car probably gets like 15 miles per hour. So like filling up his tank is such a pain right now. So maybe I'll look into getting like a little electric car or like scooter or something. Yeah.
I heard gas was $7. Is that true?
It's south of 7, but it's north of 6 in the right area.
I would believe it. I haven't filled up his tank in a while, so I'll have to ask him.
So how was long distance? What did you guys do to keep the romance alive while you were, you know, almost 3,000 miles apart?
Yeah. I mean, it's not fun. Just like going that long without seeing somebody, but I feel like we did pretty well. Like, we were able to see each other a lot. I think just the flexibility with my kind of schedule, I was able to fly out and see him a lot. A lot of FaceTimes, a lot of like show dates, movie dates and whatnot. And then just trying to make the time that we
show
have.
Show dates?
Zoom dates.
So you like Zoom together and watch a show?
Oh, yeah.
At the same time?
FaceTime, we'll like start the show at the same time and then I'll mute my laptop.
That's cute.
Because I just use the captioning and then he'll play it on his TV. And then, yeah.
Are you guys good at those types of, not like relationships, but like every relationship at one point or another kind of has to go through that long distance thing. Are you guys good at like the long distance relationship or?
We knew that we did not want to do long distance. Like if we had to do it for more than a year, like I just don't think it would have worked. Not that we would have been able to do it, but I think we just really value that time together. So I think that's why when my lease was ending, it wasn't really a question of, okay, yeah, like we're going to take that step together. Just because, I mean, people make it work for years, but it's just not in my nature to do long distance.
Jared, can you do long distance?
I did. The only time I've done long distance was with my ex-girlfriend. She studied abroad in Italy and that was for 6 months. But the only reason we really made it through is because we knew there was an end game. It wasn't, oh, who's moving where? How long is this going to take? I knew that she was back in 6 months. I don't think I'd be able to do long distance. As much as I like my own personal time, and Dean, you can relate to this, where I need just to be alone for a while. I also can't be like, I don't want to be alone for like weeks or months at a time and then see someone and then have to leave and then do that all over. That's really tough.
If Kaylin and I had to do long distance for whatever reason, like let's say she got a work thing in Japan for 9 months and I had to be in America, I guarantee you she would break up with me within like 2 months. I'm so bad at long distance. Like I hate phone calls. I hate FaceTimes. And she loves those things. And after like the first couple of weeks, she'd be like, why are you not answering my phone calls? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't like it. Let's just text. Texting is good.
And it's tough too, because then you get like, and then you're on the phone with each other and you have to call every night. So you're like, start getting annoyed at one another. We have nothing to talk about.
My biggest pet peeve, even outside of romantic relationships, actually probably less so in romantic, but even like in interpersonal relationships, is when people call without a designated purpose. Like if you just call just to talk, I will explode. But like if you call and you're like, hey, like where are you? Are you coming? Okay, you're getting here in 5 minutes. All right, see you then. But no, if you just call and you're like, hey, what's up? Like, how are you? What's new? Oh my gosh, nothing infuriates me more than that for some reason. And that's probably not good. But anyways, back to the subject at hand. Abigail, what have you learned about Noah since you guys have started dating? Or what's your favorite thing that you've learned about him?
My favorite thing about him that I've learned, honestly, he really surprised me in how much effort he's putting like into our relationship. I think just because when you leave Paradise, you are still kind of in that bubble and kind of, okay, like, not like it's a fairy tale because obviously it didn't really end well for us, but I think you kind of just have that bubble of, okay, it's really easy to kind of just focus on that relationship. But then when you get to the real world, you have all these distractions come up. And I've just been really impressed with how much he prioritizes our relationship, you know, just on a day-to-day basis. And then also just with like his contract for his hospital, how much he was just like checking in with me, kind of filling me in saying like, would you be happy with this location? I'm going to request to work like 4 days. So we'll have 3 day weekends. I was like, oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, you guys were definitely one of my favorites in Paradise this past season. But I at the top of the episode, I mentioned you guys sucked at one point on the show. And I want to bring that up real quick. So at the prom, on the prom date, you guys like were kind of going at it against each other. Can you just like walk that over with us real quick? And I'm sure you're probably sick of reliving it. Obviously, it's okay because everything ended well. So like maybe it's funny to look back and laugh at. So can you just talk about that for a second? Like how did that all unfold? And then how did you guys like kind of rekindle after the fact?
Yeah, so I think kind of the issue on Paradise was obviously communication. We just did not do a good job of communicating. And I think for me, I'm a very realistic person when it comes to dating. And like, yes, I know what I signed up for when I went on the show, but just the idea of, you know, a proposal after 2.5 weeks, like that just scared me the entire time. I was having so much fun with Noah on like a day-to-day basis, but then when it came time to have those conversations, it was kind of like an inner battle with myself of, okay, I want to show him how much I care for him, but I also don't want to scare him because we've only been talking for a week. And so I just wouldn't say anything. And then he kind of took it as, okay, well, she's not really expressing how she feels about me. Does she not like me as much? And then he was having that, like, we just weren't talking to each other about it. And obviously that backfired because, I mean, everyone saw kind of what happened. Yeah. But then watching it back, it was really eye-opening because when we left Paradise, I was really mad at him. I was just like, you blindsided me. We said we were going to be open with each other, so forth. But then watching it back, I was like, okay, he really was trying. Like, I didn't see all the behind the scenes stuff. He really was trying. And I felt so horrible. And I mean, we can laugh about it now because it worked out. But.
Right. Do you think that had you not been that way, do you think he would have proposed to you at the end of the show?
So we actually said kind of from the very beginning that neither of us wanted to get engaged. I think we were very open to the idea of leaving in a very serious relationship. But I think we were just kind of on the same page of it's a very big thing, a really special thing. We only want to do it once. We want to be so sure when we do it. So I think we always knew that the engagement, I just thought we were going to leave together. Like that was set in stone and apparently it wasn't, but then we got back together. But we both wanted to just leave Paradise and not be engaged.
Those producers, man, they can convince a penguin to buy some ice from them. Like, I feel like if you got towards the end, I guarantee those thoughts would have like crept in because they were just like be driving home. Cause the same thing happens to every single couple. And I think because you guys left early before the engagements even were an option. And I think that's always the best option too, for any couple. Like same thing happened to me and Kaylin, you know, there was no pressure for us to get engaged from the producers because we weren't there during that time. And so you're able to like leave and just like have a lot less responsibility in regards to like that aspect of it, I guess.
Abigail, so the question becomes, you guys have been together for what, 9-10 months now? So
which is an eternity in Bachelor World.
Oh my God, that's like 7 years.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about an engagement moving forward? More confident in the idea of it now?
Yeah, so we definitely have talked about it. It's definitely, I mean, we wouldn't be dating each other if that wasn't in the cards. I think right now we're just enjoying taking the big step and moving in together, and really just kind of enjoying that. And then we'll address the engagement down the road, but there's no timeline. I don't think there's really, ironically, like a pressure on us. I know, like as a bachelor couple, like people are always commenting on my pictures and stuff saying, when's the engagement? Some people were messaging me thinking our trip to Costa Rica was gonna be like a proposal trip. And I'm like, we haven't even been dating for a year. So it's,
Isn't that the most infuriating thing sometimes too, where you're just like, let us just live our lives and like, let us be a regular couple and don't put that pressure onto us.
It's that. And then it's just like, when we don't follow like the timeline of the show, I think people are like, oh, they're not serious about like, they're not serious about each other or they're doomed. And I'm like, but if it was a real world, like in the real world, people usually date for over a year before they take that next step. So it's just,
I mean, hey, Caitlin and I are coming up on 3 years and there's still no engagement. So let us be the example for you. Yeah, right. It'll come. It'll come eventually, maybe, if she ever asks. I'm just waiting for her to ask. She hasn't.
Yeah, she's got to get on one knee at some point. So we do have a couple topics of the week that we want to get to. We also have an email coming up later on in the show. But first, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with Abigail and talk about some hot topics.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Dean, myself, and Abigail are here. So there's a topic that I want to talk about, and it's about breaking up, which is quite sad. And I'm not saying that anybody should break up within this.
But we've all broken up at
podcast.
Some point.
Yeah. So has everybody here been broken up with and have been the person to break up with someone?
Yeah, of course. Certainly.
I don't think I've broken up with somebody.
Never?
No.
Not even like Jimmy from sixth grade?
I feel like the closest was I knew I was over the relationship, but I like slowly creeped my way out. It was never like a sit down conversation. So I feel like I wouldn't be.
Can we get a little more detail on that? How do you slowly creep out of a relationship?
You just ghost them, don't you? Don't do that.
Slowly tiptoe back out of it. I was in college. I was dating this guy. Like, it wasn't a super serious relationship, and he was 2 years older, so he had just graduated college. And at that point, I was just like, okay, I know, like, we're not going to get married. I want to enjoy college, so forth. So it's just kind of more of just like, I wasn't responding as much, so forth. And then I would kind of push it on him where he was like, yeah, like, I don't think this relationship's working. I think we should like go our separate ways. So like, I indirectly try to make that happen. But I couldn't bring myself to be like, I don't think this is working.
No, I don't. I'm not saying you broke up with someone on Paradise, but I don't remember. Were there guys that you had to turn away? There had to have been guys that wanted to date you or asked you on a date and you said no.
Actually, no, because Noah and I went on our date the very first day. So I already had the power from the first day. So I never.
Oh, that's right.
Like a guy asked. And then when guys would like pull us aside, like new guys coming in, they would be like, what's your situation and stuff. Maybe I should have been more open, but I always was just like, yeah, like Noah and I went on a date. I'm happy with him. Like here are the girls.
Wow. No. Yeah, it all worked out. Don't be more open.
You shouldn't have been more open. You did exactly what you needed to do.
Most of those guys suck. You found a good one.
I didn't turn down anybody on Paradise.
Yeah, you found the best guy that you could have found for yourself. And probably in the entire history of the show even too. Hey, quick question. Not to get us too derailed from the conversation. What are those little bobblehead soccer player guys behind you?
Oh, that's his friends. The third guy that lives with Ed Justin. They're like little, and he like collects them.
Okay, cool. They're cute. I was curious.
But they're not mine. I have no idea what they are.
Is Steve feeling the pressure now?
I wish I knew.
Is he feeling the pressure to move out now that you're here?
Actually, no. It's a really big apartment. We have a lot of fun together. I just have a nice way to do it, kind of like ease in instead of just, I don't know. It works for us, I guess. No,
I agree. It's funny too. Whenever I told anyone that we had, like, Kaylin and I had a roommate, everyone always kind of like looked at us weird. But honestly, I loved it. It was great. Like, if Kaylin wasn't home, I'd get to hang out with one of my best friends. And if I wasn't home, they could like hang out too. So it was like, I don't know.
Well, that's why you loved it, because it was your best friend, Dean. If it was Kaylin's best friend you were living with, I'm sure the situation would have been differently.
That's pretty accurate.
I feel like a best friend and your girlfriend under one roof. That is pretty.
They should make like a sitcom out of this or something.
Yeah, Dean, you were living the damn dream. You kidding me? It was like, oh, I either hang out with my girlfriend or my best friend. Well, my girlfriend's not here. I'm with my best friend. My best friend's not here. I'm with my girlfriend.
Sadly, it's all coming to an end because we move out on Tuesday.
Well, did you get the place in LA?
We got a new studio in Los Angeles. It's 300 square feet. It is absolutely tiny.
300
square feet? There, Monk.
Yeah, it's like a New York shoebox, but it's in Los Angeles.
I feel like that has to be smaller than my little New York apartment.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, rent prices are so ridiculous right now. We're paying nearly $3,000 a month for the tiniest little apartment. But it is what it is.
Dude,
it's cute.
I would my office here in Audrey's is probably about 30 square feet. I'll give it to you for a cup of coffee a month.
Oh, you know what? Do I buy you the cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But okay. You have to spend it at Audrey's. Really, you're just paying me.
Can we get back on track here? What's this? What are these breakups you want to talk about?
All right. So this is from, excuse me. It's an article titled "How to Break Up with Someone in the Healthiest Way Possible." These are eight breakups don'ts. So these are eight breakup don'ts. Do not do these. The mistakes to avoid when breaking it off. One, do not break up over text or email. It says, remember when Carrie was broken up with over a Post-it note in Sex and the City? Don't be that person. If you care about someone enough to be in a relationship with them for a period of time, you owe them the respect to have an in-person conversation. This one doesn't apply if you're concerned about your safety, though. So if you're not concerned about your safety and everything is good, I agree with this. Don't break up over text or email. Email? What are you, resigning from a job?
God forbid, Kaylin and I ever break up, I'm going to send her a fax and I'm just going to say, sorry, this isn't working out. I'm going to flip up this script.
I feel a little attacked because I feel like this is what I did with my relationship.
Oh,
but
no.
I would say, yes, I do agree. Text or email is a big no.
I disagree. So I say go for it. Just send it. Send the text. If you don't like it, it obviously isn't important enough to you anyways. Just press the send button. I've done it before. I think it's okay. I think it kind of like helps both sides ease the blow, soften it a little bit. You know?
How long were you dating the person for? Because I feel like if you're dating casually for like a few months, then text would make more sense instead of like, hypothetically, if you and Kaylin were to break up tomorrow, I don't think you would send her a text.
You make a very valid point. I think, okay, here's a good rule of thumb. Anything under 6 months, text okay. Anything over
six months?
Text not okay.
No way.
I was thinking more like, 2 or 3 months.
I would say two, and even two for me is pushing it. 6 months? That's an invested, intense relationship.
Okay, can we go back to what I talked about earlier, though, is I hate phone calls. So for me, a text conversation is nearly as good as a phone call conversation for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Number two, it says, do not surprise them. A breakup out of the blue can feel especially devastating. One of the best ways to eliminate unnecessary pain for your soon-to-be ex is to not surprise them with the breakup by blurting it out at an inappropriate time. Give them time and respect to emotionally prepare and seek the necessary support for the end of your relationship.
So instead of surprising them with the breakup, build up to it over a couple of days, like plant the seed of information.
I totally disagree with this. There's no beating around the bush here. Like, you're gonna, if one person wants to break up with the other one, you're gonna kind of come out of left field and surprise them.
You should blur it out.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, well, Noah could have taken a note out of this one for Paradise because he did surprise me. But I also was thinking about it. I was like, how would you, like, what's the other way to do it though? Like, would you, like what Dean said, like, do you just kind of drop like little hints that it's working? I feel like sometimes like you just have to sit down and just say like, hey, I've been thinking about it. This is not working.
Right. I agree. Or you could just take the other route and like put on a lot of weight and then let them break up with you because you're not taking care of yourself anymore. That's always an option.
That has worked.
This doesn't make any sense to me because what I would rather hit someone with a big right hook than little jabs over the course of like a couple weeks, you know, this is all imaginary talk here.
Right.
I'd rather just hit them with a blow over the head than
I'd rather hit my really postpartum wife over the head in one violent shot.
But it's like, I mean, how would you not surprise them? What are you supposed to just walk past them and be like, you know, I really hate your cooking, and just walk away and just like keep doing that over the course of a couple of weeks until she gets the hint?
Yeah, I think that's a bad tip. I think you should just tell it how it is at any moment. If you want to break up with them, let them know. What else you got?
I agree. All right, the next one is, do not break up right after having sex. Oh. This should go without saying, but it's something I hear too often in my practice. Having sex one last time and then breaking up with them can be incredibly confusing and hurtful, making the person feel used and even causing distrust in their future relationships. Yeah, I agree with this, obviously.
And then even vice versa, like breaking up with someone and then being like, okay, we should do it like one last time for like good old like time's sake. I feel like that's just as damaging too.
Oh, I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say, if you were going to do that, that's the method you should take.
That you should break up with someone and then
have like see you later sex. Because think about it, like if you're just going to have regular relationship sex, it'll just be like what you're used to. But if you break up with them and then have sex, there'll be a lot more like fire and passion in it. And then you guys could like bang it out and then move on with your lives.
I mean, I would agree with that, but I also wouldn't say that's healthy.
Oh yeah. No. I'm not talking about healthy. I'm just talking about what you should do.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't have sex with an ex. I mean, it's tough because it's so difficult not to. Okay, but even if your
ex literally 5 minutes ago, it's a 5 minute old ex.
Yeah, but then if you have sex, you're going to want, like, I guarantee you, if you have two people having consensual sex who are former significant others, one of them is still wanting to be with the other person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I'm saying the timeline is a lot shorter than what maybe I'm giving it credit for. Is like, I'm going to walk into the room and say, hey, you and I are breaking up. And then we're going to, before we leave that same room, we'll have already had sex. It's like, and then never have sex again. You know, it's not like you're going to come back a week later and have sex. You're going to have sex moment.
That's so misleading. I feel like when you utter the words break up, but then your body's saying something different. Like,
oh yeah.
Hold on. I want to know specifically. All right, Dean. So what you're saying is that you should have sex with the person and then say we're breaking up. Okay, we're breaking up and now we're going to have sex.
And then like one last hoorah, you know, like it's breakup sex. People have breakup sex all the time.
I agree. They do. It's just, I agree with Abigail. I think it's a terrible decision.
Abigail looks like she's coming around to my way of thinking here.
Sex is like off the table.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe she's not coming around to my way of thinking. I mean, hey, to each their own, I guess. I'm not saying I condone this. I'm not saying I've ever done it, nor would I ever do it. I'm just saying if you were to do those two things in one particular order, that's the order that I would recommend doing them in.
Okay, I see the point you're making. You're like, if I had to choose, yes, I would agree. Overall,
and if I had the choice of not breaking up at all, that's my choice. Stay together forever.
And Dean, I totally agree with you. If it was plausible to say, okay, let's break up and then we'll just have sex and there'll be no emotion attached to it and we'll just one last time. Sure. Yeah, of course. Why not?
That's what I've been saying.
That's never the case though. Oh.
And in fact, there would be a lot of emotion attached to it.
With that switch either.
What do you mean?
Huh?
I just go from a relationship and then flip the switch and say, yeah, we can keep all the physical stuff, but no emotions.
I'm not saying like a repeat offender in terms of like hooking up. I'm just saying one and done. You're in, you're out.
Sex is like gambling. You put a dollar in a slot machine. You're like, all right, I'm only spending a dollar. And then you lose or you win. And then you're like, maybe one more.
It's like when you go to a Justin Bieber concert and it's the best concert ever. And he's saying, hey, guys, thanks so much. I had a great time tonight. I'll see you next time. And he walks off the stage and everyone in the crowd is saying one more song. And then he's leaving. You know, he's breaking up with you. And he comes out and he goes, you know what? One more song. I'll give you guys an encore. And it's so much better than every other song because, you know, it's the last song he's going to sing. And so you cherish every second of it so much more. And then he leaves. And then you don't see him again until the next time you go to a Justin Bieber concert.
But then my point exactly.
Sad to like see him walk off the stage at that point, because it's like you kind of got that little teaser of like,
no, because now you
keep asking, but then when he doesn't come back on the stage again, it hurts more.
I see. But you've already experienced him walking off the stage once before. So now seeing him walk off again, you've become like a little bit more calloused to the concept of it. I'm willing to die on this hill too, by the way, in case you guys haven't noticed.
We're missing the point, which is, Dean, you're going to go back to a Justin Bieber concert. You know, even though it's one more song, you know it's not the one more song. You're going to go back. You're going to see more songs. You're going to want to enjoy more songs together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Next one. We've spent too much time on this particular one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Do not break up with someone going through a personal crisis. Now, this one's difficult. Avoid a breakup, if at all possible, when someone is dealing with a personal crisis like a death in the family or an illness. However, if the situation is ongoing, you should consider communicating your feelings so the person doesn't expect to count on your support and create a deeper bond. Yeah, this one's tough.
I disagree with that as well. This guy's the worst. You do too. Let's hear why.
I had a buddy. This is going to sound terrible. I had a buddy who was with someone who had cancer and he was not in love anymore. And it was like he ended up staying with them for like months.
Oh man.
Because it was like the most tragic thing I've ever heard. But it was tough because it was this exact scenario where they were together and, the cancer came back and then, but he like wasn't that close to her. And it was this whole thing. And it was just like, holy shit, what do you do? Cause he obviously didn't want to leave her side, but it was also, they weren't doing that well in a romantic sense. So it was like, anywho, that's the story.
So what was the conclusion of that story?
They broke up.
I think, crisis or not, if you want to break up with someone, you should break up with them. Like, especially, like, imagine if you were going through a crisis and then you get broken up with like 6 months later. And then you come to find out the only reason that you got broken up with 6 months later was because the other person like felt bad for you going through the crisis. I would just be like angry about that. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, I would agree, because I feel like with cancer or like if somebody loses a family member, there's no kind of time frame to that. You know, maybe don't break up with them the week that it happens, like have some sort of compassion there. But if somebody loses somebody in 3 months down the road, I mean, that's still like you shouldn't just stay with somebody up to that point. That makes sense. Kind of what Dean was saying. But yeah, with the cancer, I feel like they did the right thing by breaking up, as horrible as that sounds.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's just tough. Do not break up in the middle of a fight. Never end a relationship in the heat of the moment. You may regret your decision once the argument is over. Yeah, good duh.
Good duh. I'll take there's a bear shit in the woods for $100, Alex. No, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like Abigail and Noah broke up in the middle of a fight, though, and here they are thriving. So good for them.
Yeah, but I also think, like, in this, like, instance, they're saying, like, in the heat of the moment, like, a heated fight. Apparently, he's been having, like, thoughts about it, and, like, it just wasn't communicated. Hmm. I feel like that's different and, like, kind of building up to it. But, like, if you're screaming over, like, somebody not putting the dishes away and then saying, like, okay, we're breaking up, like, that's it.
That's true. And I also think too, like, if you're getting in fights that often and, like, your instinctual reaction is to be like, we're breaking up, then you've probably been thinking about breaking up with that person for a long time. So do you guys watch Love is Blind?
I'm in the middle of the second season.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but there's
I looked up the spoilers. I was like, everywhere. Yeah, I just need to, like, see how
it's, it was entertaining. I like that show. But there was one couple that broke up, and they broke up because the guy got in a fight with her at the very end, like the day before the wedding day. And I was like, well, of course, he, like, got drunk and, like, spewed a bunch of nonsense at her. And I was like, well, he's been thinking this the entire month that they've been together. And he finally just, like, blurted it all out finally. So think, like, yo, yeah, super shitty. Like,
Shane, the guy. Oh,
it was Shane. Yes, it was okay. Shane. Yes. And Shane is crazy. I mean, I don't know him. I don't know, just, like, just watching him on the show. So, I mean, I think, like, if you are going to blurt it out and break up with someone in the middle of the fight, it's probably because you've had that that thought cross your mind at some point as well.
Well, and then how do you, like, can you expect your partner to, like, stick through the hard times if that's their resort for, like, a small inconvenience? Breaking up. It's like, if it happens down the road, I would have no faith in that person sticking around.
It's, like, super manipulative too, to, like, be like, something goes wrong, we're breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And then things, like, heal and you feel better and you get back together, and then same thing happens over again. Super textbook manipulation.
I agree.
All right. The next one is, do not break up in front of other people. This is probably obvious, but don't pull a Legally Blonde and break up with someone in a restaurant. Breakups can be very emotional and you need privacy. At the very least, find a quiet area for you to discuss your feelings in private.
I would agree with this. After going through two breakups on TV around people, it's the least fun thing because you don't know how to process your emotions. People are asking you questions. I don't know. It's just the most uncomfortable thing. So don't do it.
Jared, have you ever been broken up publicly? Besides Paradise?
I didn't. No, I don't think so. Who would break up publicly? Why would you, like, I guess maybe, again, see, I think the last two are correlated because if you break up in a public area, then I'm sure you're breaking up during a fight. It's the only thing I could think of is that you fight and then you break up and you weren't expected to break up. Like, who would be like, okay, I need to break up with Susie. So I think I'm going to break up with her when we're at dinner with our friends. Like, what?
I mean, if you want, like, like a control reaction, like if you're afraid that someone's gonna, like, lash out, then maybe you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna break with them in front of people so that way they can't lash out too much at me.
Yeah, that's true. I guess moral of the story, if you feel, I feel a lot of these kind of boil back down to what you were saying earlier too, Jared. If you feel, like, unsafe in the relationship, a lot of these kind of maybe don't really apply, because, like, having a controlled area like a restaurant would be nice to be able to kind of protect yourself a little bit. But
yeah, you don't want to break up in a back dark alley. Another one, do not take a break. This one's interesting. Everyone witnessed what happened to Ross and Rachel and Friends, but in all seriousness, never suggest a break. If you feel that you need a break from the person, chances are you want to break up, but may fear being alone. Mm. Wait until you're ready to end the relationship, then talk about breaking up. I mostly agree with this. My experience with taking a break is that the relationship is over and we're just stalling the inevitable.
You think? I disagree. I think you can take breaks healthfully. What's the word? Healthfully or healthily? Healthfully.
How the hell should I know? I have a Rhode Island public school system.
It's healthfully. I think you can healthfully take breaks. You know, I don't think that it's probably a good thing, but I think everyone needs a break every once in a while, you know?
But it depends, like, what you mean by break. Like, do you mean, okay, like, can we sleep with other people? Yeah. Is it, oh, I just need a break, like a weekend trip to go see my family, just like a little space? Like, because Ross and Rachel, like, obviously that was very confusing on another level. But
right.
Yeah, I agree with Jerry. Like, if you're saying like, oh, we should take like a few weeks, like a break, that's a breakup. Like,
yeah. Well, I guess the question is, during the break, I think of taking a break as seeing other people.
Right. Oh, then no, the relationship's over.
I also agree with that. I think when I think of taking a break, I think it's just like two people like going different directions for like a month and then coming back together and like assessing their emotions. But if you're not like sleeping with other people, but just like going off and doing your own thing for a month, you know, and like maybe like limited contact. But if you're going out and hooking up with other people, that's when I think the relationship should be tarnished.
All right. Last one of the do nots. Do not stay with someone out of obligation. You might be tempted to back out of breaking up with someone because of anxiety, but that's not in either of your best interests. Never avoid breaking up with somebody because you're afraid of hurting their feelings or afraid of being single. Yeah. I mean, another gaduh. Like, don't be in a relationship if you're just doing it because you're afraid of being alone and you actually don't want to be with this person. It's bad for everybody involved and it almost always ends badly.
I agree.
Who's ever been in a relationship for obligation?
You've never been in a relationship where you're just like, well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't know. I guess obligation would, what I think of when I hear obligation in this sense would be that you guys have been together for so long and maybe you own a house together or maybe you have kids together and you're like, well, I don't want to be with you, but I feel like we should be together because of these factors.
I bet you there's a lot of bachelor relationships that stay together because of obligation.
1,000%.
So there you go. I guess there's a good example of maybe staying together via obligation, although they ultimately end up crashing and burning anyway. So why delay the inevitable? Just, you know, get it over with, right?
Well, you try to make a few more bucks, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Well, fiduciary obligation is different than like a romantic obligation, I guess, you know. Yeah. Definitely squeeze as much as you can out of the you know, the shilling teat. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. The doorbell just rang, so I'm a little distracted right now.
Who is it?
I don't know. I'm not going to answer it. That's how much I care about this podcast. It could be anyone. It could literally be the mayor of Las Vegas coming to my door with a giant check for $2 million because I won the Powerball. And I don't care because Suck Army is where my attention belongs. But we're going to take one quick break. We're going to get to emails with Abigail and make sure to stick to the break and we'll be right back.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. And as promised, we're going to get to an email. We got Amanda emailing us, but I don't know who is going to read this for us.
I'll read it.
No. We don't want you to read it. Maybe Tara or Hannah or even Abigail if she wants to.
I'll read the email from Amanda. I don't know why you don't want Jared to read the email, though. That's rude.
This is bullshit.
It's not that I don't want him to read it. I just want a new, a different voice for a little bit.
No, whatever. I'm going to go back to making coffee.
Okay.
All right. This email is from Amanda. She says, after finishing graduate school in December, I decided to try online dating again. Unfortunately, a few days into it, I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. I decided to be honest with someone I matched with and told him what happened. Long story short, he told me it was what's on the inside that matters and still wanted to meet. So we made set plans. Unfortunately, he canceled the night before and said, I'm so sorry. I have to help my dad. I hope you don't think I'm a flake. Let's do it next weekend instead. The following weekend didn't work for me. So I asked him about a weekday. He didn't respond. And then I checked and he unmatched with me. Even before the Bell's palsy diagnosis, I had trouble dealing with ghosting guys who would message for a week but not make plans, and bad first dates. I probably went on 10 bad dates in a row and don't know how to move forward. How do I break the cycle?
That's a tough one because there's a lot to unpack there. Bell's palsy, for those of you that don't know, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's when like half of your face goes, not like paralyzed, but it loses like its muscle composition, right?
Yeah, I was just looking it up because honestly, I've never heard of Bell's palsy. But yes, it says there's sudden weakness in the muscles on one half of the face. It could be a reaction to a viral infection. That's what it is.
So my dad, I think, had Bell's palsy at one point when I was in high school. I remember his like half of his face went, and I thought he had a stroke or something. And that's why it was doing that. And I'm pretty sure he's all better now with it. I don't know, but I've noticed that sometimes in my face, my facial expressions don't match. And so I'm worried that I'm getting Bell's palsy as well. I don't know if that's even a possible like thing to happen, but it's a scary thing. So, I mean, I commend this girl for, fighting through it and going on dates and trying to find the positive outlook. But like at the end of the day, too, I don't think it shouldn't be as big of a deal as it is, right? Like if you like someone and they like you back, it shouldn't really matter whether you have Bell's palsy or not. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I definitely commend her for coming out and saying it, because I remember when I was on the dating apps before the show, I would never tell guys about my hearing loss. That was just something that was too scary for me to do. So the fact that she's coming out and saying it, I definitely commend her for that. And honestly, the guys kind of sounds like an asshole, just because I feel like he's trying to make it himself feel good by saying, you know, it's what's on the inside that matters, not the outside, but then his actions aren't lining up with what he's saying. So I don't like that he did that. So I'm glad that they didn't go on the date, because it just sounds like he's not a good person, to be honest. But in terms of how to break the streak, I just think while dating apps are good, like a good way to meet people, they're really draining. And I feel like they just take a toll on kind of your self-confidence and so forth. And you kind of just become not the best version of yourself to be going on dates with, because you're constantly thinking, okay, I have 5 dates that didn't go well. What am I doing wrong? But maybe it was the guys that were doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. I think just taking a break, doing the things that make you happy, like just get off the apps for a while, go hang out with your friends, just do the things that make you happy. And I think you'll kind of have the energy that will draw people to you. I do not miss the dating app.
Oh, no, never. And also dating apps, they're great. And I think they work for a lot of people. But to Abigail's point, I think if you ditch the dating apps and just go do the things that make you happy, you probably would meet someone in person doing those similar things. And then like there is your instant common ground and like things to bond over and hobbies that you can share together. So mm-hmm. I always agree with that too. It's like, you know, if you go to church and you have trouble meeting guys on dating apps, maybe like go to church and try to meet someone at church. Or if you like to play golf or whatever it is, like go on hikes and you meet someone doing those activities. And then you obviously like have a shared common ground. So the Bell's palsy thing is tricky. Like obviously there has to be like a physical connection. And that's hard because like that's, you know, unpredictable, I guess. Like it just comes. I mean, I don't know, but I would imagine it just kind of like happens randomly. But it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things you, I guess, have to figure out. Jared, what do you think? I haven't heard your opinion yet.
Oh, no, I just think if you want to break the cycle, yeah, you have to break the cycle. Like Abigail said, do something different. You know, you can't really focus your energy on other people's reactions or how they conduct their actions. Just focus on yourself. Try to be as positive as possible. It's not easy. Yeah, if you're looking to break the cycle, because dating apps can really suck sometimes. I think they're wonderful, but sometimes they can be really emotionally draining. Then, yeah, break the cycle. Don't stop using dating apps for a while. Do something different. What that is, I'm not sure. You know, Amanda, you'll be the one to answer that. Whatever you love doing, like Dean said, go do it. And then hopefully maybe something comes from that. But that's my only advice.
And for the record, Amanda, you said at one point guys would message for a week and then not make plans and you'd have bad first dates. Just for the record, that was also me. Like I was that guy that would talk for a week and then never message back. And I think what it really stems from is just an immaturity on the guys. It's nothing to do with you. It's just the guy is like, probably is talking to too many people on a dating app, probably is, you know, like early to mid 20s or maybe even older, but he's just an asshole and he's immature. So that kind of like, again, brings it back to what we were talking about earlier is like, go do the things that make you happy and find a guy that way rather than trying to find a guy on a dating app that's going to be flaky and immature. So I hope that helps. Anyways, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Amanda, for emailing. I wish you nothing but the best of luck in your search for a boyfriend. Keep the emails coming. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Tell us all your dating stories and anything. If you have any questions, anything like that. Big thank you to Abigail for joining us this week. Abigail, we cannot wait to see more from you and Noah. We're waiting on the engagement. Every trip you go on, I'm expecting it to be an engagement. Even after you're engaged, you guys are going to be engaged and you're going to go on a trip to Italy. And I'm going to say, are they getting engaged again? Is that going to happen?
Second engagement. My brain just keeps getting fuller all the way on every single trip we take.
You're not going to be able to bend your ring finger at one point. It's going to be filled with rings. Jared, thank you as always. Hannah and Tara, thank you guys so much too. Be sure to tune in next week where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.